We are thankful to see each one here this evening. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 21. And I'll go ahead and tell you this while you're turning. We've been praying and studying about some different Bible studies. I don't know how we're going to do some. We might do one even on a Sunday. It's only a couple of lessons long. But we have been, as we had mentioned a while back, about getting into the book of Hebrews, and we've been working on that too. And we're hoping to start that maybe on Tuesday night before too long when the Lord's in it. But we desire your prayers in those things. It's always good as we study our Bibles and go through it. There's so much when you go through a book or you go through a subject that you just dig into it and you learn a little bit more than maybe you would from just one message. You get a little bit more depth, a little bit more insight to it. And we've been praying about those things, and we're certainly praying that those studies could be a blessing as we get ready to deliver those shortly. But tonight we're going to turn, as we said, to the book of Matthew chapter 21. We're going to pick up in verse 28. But before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, again, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Help us, Father, that we'd be focused on you and that we would learn from you and apply your word to our lives and be the people that you would have us to be. And Father, for those that are lost, help them to see your love for them. That, Father, they could see your desire for them to be saved before it's everlasting too late. And, Father, that salvation only comes through your Son. And, Father, we pray that, again, your will would be accomplished. And for the good that is done, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In Matthew 21, beginning in verse 28, he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." And we're going to stop reading there in verse 32. But Jesus is, giving some plain preaching to the publicans, and not to the publicans, but you've got the Pharisees and the scribes that he's dealing with. And of course, these were very religious and sadly very self-righteous people. They didn't even think they needed to repent. They thought, we're Abraham's seed and we live a good enough life, and because of our goodness, God's going to receive us and we're going to be fine. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way it is. You're not even believing the salvation of Abraham. You're not believing the salvation of David. You're not believing the salvation that goes back to Adam and Eve. You're not believing upon me. That's what he tried to get across to them. And he even uses the example about two sons. And he says a man had two sons. And, you know, he asked them both to go into the field. And one of them said, I'm not going. Well, seems to have a very rebellious attitude, doesn't it? Well, he likens that unto the publicans, unto the harlots, the sinful people, that while they did not serve God at the beginning, when they turned and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they turned and served him. And they were living for him, and they were honoring God's will for their life. And he's really likening the second son unto the Pharisees and scribes. They're saying, oh, we're going to serve God, and we're going to live for him. But they never repent and they never turn from their wicked ways. They never turn and believe upon Christ. And they never turn from the things that they're trusting in to follow God. And he asked them between the two, which one did the will of his father? And they said, well, the first one did, the one that repented and actually went and did what the Father wanted them to do. And he says, I'm telling you right now. And I mean, he gets pretty plain with it. The publicans and harlots. I mean, harlots, that's prostitutes. There's not a bigger sinful thing that you can think about. Maybe homosexuality, but that's even included in some of the harlots and things of that nature. I mean, that's a pretty wicked lifestyle to live as a harlot. And he's saying they're going to enter the kingdom of heaven before you. And the reason that they did is he even said they heard John preaching. And he preached the way of righteousness. He called people to repentance. He called people to turn from their ways and turn into the things of God. And he said, listen, those harlots, those people you look down on, he said, they repented. They believed what John was preaching. He said, but even when you saw that, he said, you still didn't repent. There's a lot of times as we look at things, we might look at them the wrong way. I want to use even Paul as an example for a moment. Paul persecuted the church back when he was called Saul of Tarsus. A very wicked man. And no doubt even some of God's people would say, well, that man's never going to be saved. That man's never going to trust Christ. But not only did he trust Christ, but he served God. And all because somebody was willing to preach the truth before him. Stephen being one of those, no doubt there's others that we don't have record of that he heard as he was arresting them and beating them and throwing them into prison and doing different things. But he repented, he trusted God, and he served him. Guess what? That man that had persecuted the church is not only going to be in heaven, but he's got great reward laid up in heaven. Where there's other people that might have lived a decent life, might not have committed the same sins or the horrible sins that Paul committed as far as going against the church and persecuting the church and doing all that he did, but he repented. And he served God. There's a lot of people that have sat on church pews their whole life, but they never trust Christ. And they might think to themselves, well, I'm not a harlot. Well, I'm not like this evil person over here, and I haven't done this deed. And they don't see that they're sitting in the same place that the Pharisees and scribes are sitting in. That they think, well, because I'm a good person, or because I don't commit the awful sins that somebody else is going to commit, or somebody else has committed, that God's going to receive me. No, you got to repent and trust in Christ. You got to see yourself as a sinner and turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, there's people on death row that have repented and trusted in Christ. There's people that are in the worst prisons that you can imagine that have repented and trusted in Christ. They've done horrible deeds in their life. They've done things that it's hard for us to even imagine. And they've done those things and they're guilty of it. But yet, if they repent and trust in Christ, they're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Where somebody that might not have done as gruesome of deeds or horrible of things, but they never trusted in Christ. They're going to lift their eyes in hell. And Jesus was trying to drive this point home to them, and he used again that example of the two sons. He said, which one did the will of the Father? The one that said he was going to do what God wanted him to do, but didn't. Or what the Father wanted him to do, but didn't. Or the one that rebelled for a time in his heart, but then repented and turned and did what God asked him to do. Sometimes, even when we're sharing the gospel with people, we judge from a human standpoint. We judge from a point of view that's not godly. And we say, well, that person will never hear the gospel. That person will never believe. That person will never repent. I know that there's some times that even because some of the things that I preach against by the Bible and stand against, there's some people that misunderstand a lot of times what you're trying to get across. You know, I can preach against God's people getting tattoos and doing different things. People say, well, that person just thinks that people with tattoos can't get saved. Listen, I wish there was even preachers in our work that had tattoos. And what I mean by that is that they've repented. They're not living in those things anymore, but once you get one of those things, it's kind of expensive or really difficult to get them off. But I wish that there were people that had repented and had turned from the lifestyle of the worldly living and maybe even living in gangs and doing different things. Listen, I want them to repent. I want them to be saved. I'm glad with church houses that are full of repentant people. And I've even mentioned here before, listen, I've got a former pastor that if you look on his ears, you'll see where he used to have not just one earring, but a pile of them all down his ears. Used to be in a punk rock band and things of that nature. People can repent. And people can change and people can be different. People can go from lost to being saved. And people can go from even a horrible lifestyle like being a harlot or something like that to be a faithful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. An ungodly and a very wicked woman can become a godly woman. A wicked man can become a godly man. They can become good husbands or good wives and good fathers and good mothers. And they can be a pillar in the church that they go to. Jesus was trying to drive this point across. And he was driving it across to some people that refused to repent. That refused to trust in him. He said, you've even seen these people being saved. You've seen the change that God has made in their life. And yet, even after seeing that, you still wouldn't repent yourself. That's a horrible situation to be in. And I'll even say this, for those of us that are saved and looking at this from a little different perspective, sometimes, you know, people will leave church and say, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to start serving God. But then they don't. And I'll even say this. There's some people who listen to the preacher and get upset at them. Might even yell at the preacher on the way out and say, I didn't like that message. I didn't really appreciate it. And I wish you wouldn't preach things like that. And they might go home and a time later, they might come back and say, you know what, I thought on that. I prayed on that. And I saw I was wrong. Sometimes we think if somebody gets upset at a message that they're really an ungodly person. But in all honesty, if they'll go home and let it take root in them, it'll make a big difference. I could probably list you out at least five messages that I can remember off the top of my head that I heard when I was a teenager that, you know, preachers were preaching, don't do this or don't go to this place, don't do these things. And at the time, I'd have probably said, oh, they're so old-fashioned and they just don't understand. And there was times I left the church house being mad with the preacher. But I sure am thankful they preached it. It made a difference a little bit later. It made a difference when I went and opened my Bible and I studied things and I realized that there were some things that they were right on and some things I was wrong on. Realistically, what you're saying is there's some things that God was right on and I was wrong on. And I tell you, it makes a big difference. The Bible teaches us it's not how we begin something, it's how it finishes that matters. It teaches that in several different places. And there's some people, when you think about the Pharisees and the scribes, they thought, well, look, we tithe and we fasted and we haven't dishonored our mother and father, and we haven't done this sin and that sin. But they refused to see that they were sinners. And they looked down upon other people. Even when they repented, and even when they changed, they still said, yeah, but I know who they used to be. Y'all ever heard that expression before? Well, I know who they used to be. I was a different person. Because once we're saved in Christ Jesus, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I know in my life that it's been difficult for me to even share the gospel with some people because they'll say, well, I remember who you used to be. Yeah, 20-something years ago, you might remember who I used to be. But the sad thing is you don't learn who I am now. And the sad thing is some people will never forgive. And some people will never see the need to repent in their own life. And that's where our damage is. And Jesus was trying to drive this point home, and he was making this statement not because he just wanted to make a jab or have an attack at the Pharisees and scribes. And I know there's times when we preach against sin and different things, people say, well, that person's attacking me. Well, the preacher's against what I'm doing and, you know, he really hates me or something like that. And that's not the case. There's times when you've got to make somebody see where they are or see what they're in. But that doesn't mean you hate them. And even for these Pharisees and scribes, Jesus didn't hate these people. He hated what they were doing, but he didn't hate them. In fact, he wanted them to repent. He wanted them to be saved, but they had a hard time seeing themselves. They had a difficult time seeing that they think bad about all these other people, and they might have a long list. And in our day and time, you might have a horrible long list. Well, this person, you know, had an abortion. This person committed fornication. This person committed homosexuality. This person did these sins. And while we need to preach against sin, we need to understand that people can repent. People can turn. People can believe upon Christ and be a new creature inside and even despise the things that they used to love. Do you know that there's people who have had abortions that now are some of the most strongest advocates against abortion? They can't change what they did. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I was never them. I would have never done something like that. I can say this. I've never persecuted a church like Paul did when he was Saul of Tarsus. But I've probably never drawn as close as he has to the Lord either, when he repented and turned to the Lord. In fact, it's amazing that even in his own words, he says that he became more profitable in the work of God than Peter and James and John and some of the other men that served the Lord. And they hadn't done the things that Paul had done. Why was he more profitable? Why had he done more of the work of God? And we know it really wasn't Paul. He said, but rather Christ working within me. He gave the credit where it needed to be given. But why was he able to do all that he did? Why was he able to draw as close to the Lord as he did? Because he repented. Because one day on the road to Damascus, he finally saw who he was. And he saw what he stood in need of, and he turned. And if we're not careful, whether it's sharing the gospel or whether it's even trying to be an encouragement to a brother or sister in Christ, if we're not careful, we might look at them sometimes and say, well, I've never done what they've done. Well, I've never been down the road that they've gone down. I'd have never done that. If they repented and they've turned and they're now serving God and they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's actually doing the will of God now? Is it us for saying, well, I've never done that? Well, I've never walked down the road that they've walked down. I've never committed this crime or this trespass against God. Why not have? But what am I doing now? And we need to make sure that we don't come under the same thought process, the same mindset that was in these Pharisees and scribes. We need to make sure that even if we're sharing the gospel and we say, well, that person's a fornicator, that person's an adulterer, that person's a harlot, that person's this, we need to remember God can change them. Not only can God change them, God can then use them to be a great blessing. And every time I read about the Pharisees and the scribes, my mind always thinks about the worst thing about them is that they didn't understand the concept of repentance. And they didn't understand the concept of regeneration. And I'll tell you this, there's even a lot of lost people that don't understand that either. You ever met a lost person that said, well, God will never save somebody like me? Oh, what a lie from Satan. Well, the church will never accept me. There might be certain people who don't. But last time I checked, people's approval is not what we're focused on. It's God's approval that matters. And I promise you that if you live godly long enough, even the people that might despise you and look down upon you for a while, there'll come a time that it'll even humble them. And they'll gain respect for you. God has taught me some wonderful lessons in life, even after I surrendered to preach. Now, there was times when I hadn't matured like I should have, or maybe wasn't where some other people thought I should be. I can even remember when I first surrendered to preach, and I'm not going to call the man's name, a minister in our work, but he told me to my face. He said, you'll never preach where I'm at. And see, a lot of people get upset. I don't get upset with that stuff. I just don't. And the amazing thing is I just kept on serving God and kept on serving God. And it was about 10 years later, he came and visited in a revival. And we became friends. And even later on, when he got sick or he got down and couldn't go and visit some of his church members, he would call me up on the phone and say, I've got this member in the hospital. Can you go visit them for me? I can't preach tonight. Can you come where I pastor and fill in? Now, if I'd have had hatred for that man, that would have never happened. But love can do a lot. It can even turn enemies into friends. It can make a difference. And we need to understand, and some people will say, well, that man, he was bad, and he was this, and he was that. And I go, listen, that man repented, and I saw his heart for God. I like to look at where God brought a man instead of trying to look back over his life and trying to find faults with him. I'm glad that God even allows us as his children that when we see our sins, if we'll confess them, if we'll repent, he's glad to receive us. I'm thankful of that. There's been times I've had to call people up and say, listen, I misjudged you. I'm sorry. Listen, that's a part of life. One of the things that we'll learn in the Scripture is this. Churches are full of human beings that mess up. I like that saying that people say, if you ever find a perfect church, don't go to it because you'll mess it up. We all would. We're all sinners. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And I know there's those that aim towards perfection, and that's something important. But listen, you're not going to find perfect people. You're going to find people that fail. People that make mistakes from the pulpit out. And what we need to do is see that, you know what, they can repent. And what we need to do is continue to serve God and make sure we're walking where God wants us to be, making sure we're doing His will, because if we're not careful, we'll look at a preacher, we'll look at somebody else, and we'll say, well, I'm not them, and I haven't done some of the things they've done. That self-righteousness does a lot of damage. And what it really does damage in is it hinders us from repenting ourselves. We need to make sure that we're walking in the ways of God, that we're accomplishing His will, and that we also understand that other people can repent too. And I know there's times that we have to walk away from certain situations. We have to walk away from certain people. My goodness, there's times I've had to walk away from churches, whether where my membership was or even places I was preaching at. There's times when God says, you got to go away. But that doesn't mean you have hardship. That doesn't mean that you have a calloused heart. And that doesn't mean that you give up on people repenting. That's not what it means at all. And as we come across people in this life, there are some people it's going to be very hard to pray for. There's going to be some people it's very hard to forgive. But if we're doing what God wants us to do, it'll help us with the repentance factor. And it'll help us understand that no matter how far somebody might look away from God now, God can change them. The Pharisees and scribes didn't understand that. And even when they saw harlots turning from their life of being a harlot, publicans turning from their life of partying and doing whatever they were doing out in life, and turning and living for God after salvation, they still didn't see the need in their own heart to repent. Don't let that attitude get us. Don't let that enter into our heart. Because then we're not doing the will of God. And that's not where we want to be. We don't want to start off saying, well, I'm going to honor God and I'm going to serve Him, and then we go home and go about our lives and we don't. And even if you've had times in your life you say, man, I curse God. I didn't want to have anything to do with Him. I've lived far away from Him. What you did, how you rebelled earlier, it's not where you are now. Repent. See God's grace and serve Him now. I promise it'll be a great blessing to you. I'm thankful we serve a God that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And as much as we understand that about ourselves, we also need to understand we're not special. He'll do the same for others that'll repent also. And we need to understand who we serve and have a desire for people to repent and have the desire in our own heart to repent also. And if we'll live this way, it'll make a far greater difference in our life and we'll be a greater light in this world for Christ if we'd abide in His words and accomplish His will that He's given us. I pray that we'll do so. And if you're here and lost, I pray that you'll see that God is offering you a chance of repentance. I don't know what you've done. And you might be on the side, well, I go to church and I do good and I'm a good friend and I'm a good neighbor and I'm all these other things. Maybe that's your mindset, but you need to see that you're a sinner. And you need to see your need to turn and trust in Christ. That'll make all the difference in the world to you. And it'll also help you then to love others as Christ has loved you. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.